Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. I'm Shaw Gage. It's Sunday, July 19th, 2026, and it's Sunday morning. Shaw Gage hanging out with you. Hope you're doing well this morning. If you're on your way to church, you're on your way to work, you may be listening to the podcast later on. You may be on your way home from work, from all I know. But wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and this message receives you well. And just glad you're listening. We're going to talk this morning about a VIP. What is VIP? You hear those letters. What does that mean to you? Is it something that excites you, something that makes you feel important, something that makes you feel like, I got to check this out? But got a little word I just kind of wrote down this week, and I thought it was encouraging for me, and I think it will be for you. But we're going to be talking about being a VIP this morning. And if you're not, don't feel like a VIP, a very important person. Trust me, you are. And we're going to talk about why you are and why you should be encouraged by that and how to live your life in a positive and fruitful way. And just again, the Lord spoke to me this week, just kind of feeling sorry for myself a time or two. And man, I just realized, man, we got God on our side. So we are in okay shape, and he's going to bless us. You know what I mean? So hang out with us this morning. We're going to take a quick second, step away, and we're going to come back and talk about being a VIP in today's world. Back in on Sunday morning, I'm Shaw Gage. So blessed to be hanging out with you guys each and every week. Again, hope you're having a great morning or a great day wherever you are. Just thinking about this week, what makes a VIP? What makes a very important person? You ever felt like that in life? I hope you feel that way each and every day. But there was a few opportunities this week that I had to get better. And, you know, even later in life, you still kind of have those days where you're feeling sorry for yourself, or man, things just aren't going your way, and you don't seem like you can catch a break. But the Lord stopped me and all that, and just reminded me that I do have value, and I do have importance, and I do have promise. And that's, to me, I sat down and thought about that word VIP. I know it means typically very important person, and that could be a somebody in the high ranks of the government, or a celebrity, or backstage passes. If you've ever gone to a concert or something like that, you might have thought, man, I got VIP passes. George McMillan used to bless us all the time with VIP passes to city stages, which we talked about over a year ago on this show. But, you know, that was, you always felt, you know, you kind of walked with a pep in your step. And, man, I'm an important person because you had access. You could go to the tents, and you could have food and beverages, and you could go backstage, and you could do pretty much anywhere you wanted to go. At that music festival, you felt like a very important person, because in technicality, I guess you were, because you could go anywhere you wanted and do anything you wanted as far as that went. But just thinking this week about really diving deeper into a VIP, man, I just received these three words: value, importance, and promise. In this first segment, I just want to talk about value. You know, value is to consider or rate highly. You know, if something's of value, whether it's gold or money or diamonds or guns or life or whatever it may be, value is different to different people based on what we like and what we want to pursue in life. But I came across this verse from 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 4, verse 8, and it says this: "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and life to come." So the word value was the buzzword, right? You know, and physical training, right? We're all trying to get better physically. We want to train. We want to be in shape. I know I need more cardio, need to work out more. We all could do a little bit more. And it's important. It has value. It says it's some value. But in the grand perspective, godliness, and that's not, you know, trying to be God. Let me just say that. That is trying to have a relationship with Christ, is what godliness there means, in my opinion. If I'm walking every day, if I'm praying every day, if I'm reading God's word, man, that to me is what godliness is, because that's your relationship with God and through the Holy Spirit. And so that has value for all things, and that holds promise for both today and forever, for eternity. Because I think I'm certainly guilty of forgetting that, you know, this is just temporary. However long I'm here on this earth, y'all, it's temporary. And you can say what you want about that, but it is. And we all have one thing in common: we're all going to go at some point. And where are you going? I was reminded this week, just kind of, you know, an opportunity when I had to go back to get a teaching degree. And I told my mom, I said on the phone, I remember that day, I said, Mom, there's only two things that mattered to me anymore. Number one, am I going to heaven? And number two, how many people am I taking with me? And that's, you know, that's where I am. And that's my heart. And the Lord blessed me with that view and that heartitude, as my wife reminded me this week. Great word, but the word heartitude, right? That's what my mission field became back in 2009. My life got upended with a job loss. And I just said, you know what? What is valuable anymore? You know, I'm over the stuff. I'm over nothing wrong with nice houses and cars. But if I keep chasing that dream, if Shaw keeps chasing that dream, there'll never be enough. There just never will be enough. But when I go, hey, what's the value of eternity and how many people can I take with me? You know, I heard that years ago. I've heard that my whole life. You can't take anything with you when you go. And I've believed that for a long time. But there is something we can take with us, and that's each other. And, you know, that's why I do this. That's why I, with my customers during the week and my coworkers and friends and family, I try to is just talk about life and try to encourage and go, whatever you're going through, it's going to be all right. But at the end of the day, remember that you have value. You have value. You as a person, wherever you are in life and wherever you're hearing this right now, I want you to know that you have value. We all do. We are all created in God's image, and He loves us. And He loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die on a cross for us. And if that's not value, I don't know what is. But I want you to know right now, wherever you are, if you can hear my voice, you have value and you are loved. And don't let anybody ever, ever tell you any different. Right on. We're going to be back here in just a second on Sunday morning. Back with you on Sunday morning. Hey, we're talking about VIP this morning. VIP, very important person, is what it typically means when you hear that word. This morning, we're breaking it down a few other letters. V is for value. We talked about that in the earlier segment. Now we're talking about importance is the I here, importance. And that's marked by significant worth or consequence, right? It's something significant that happened. It's very important to you or important to this country or this world or this civilization or whatever it may be. But it's significant, right? And you are important, right? You are important as a person because you matter. I want you to know that you matter out there. But I came across this, and this was 1 Corinthians 15:3. This is Paul talking, and he's encouraging the Corinthians, and he's talking about what's important. And he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's the most important thing he wanted you to know. Now, when I go talk to people, do I have that heartitude? Am I like, hey, y'all, before, let me tell you about this deal. I'm a sales guy, right, in everyday life, but let me tell you about this deal I put together. You're never going to believe it. That's important to me when I go in and talk to my customers. Or let me talk about the savings I can create for you, Mr. Customer. Or let me, you know, this new product we're demoing. But no, if I go in with my customers and my friends and my coworkers, and I have that heartitude of, man, the most important thing that I have to tell you before we get to business, before we get to what Shaw has to sell or whatever it may be, Jesus died for you according to the Scriptures. I want you to know that. Man, what a challenge that is. Are we that bold? Could we be that bold just to try one time this next week, one day? Challenge yourself right there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try that. I'm going to go, hey, Sam, before we sit down and talk about welding gloves this week, let me just tell you something. Jesus loves you, and that's the most important thing. Now, that's kind of cheating because I've told Sam that, and Sam's listening, I'm pretty sure. But I want you to know that is an important conversation. And you know what? When you have those conversations with genuine people like Sam, man, it's important in the grand scheme of things because it's significant. Because it's not just chatter. It's not just sales talk. It's just not transactional business. Now, that stuff is important. It does have value. But this is of the most importance. When we're talking about faith, when we're talking about walking through life together, and Sam and I have had a lot of conversations through the years, heart to heart, opening up about family and friends and kids and problems and griefs and successes and everything in between. But I'm so thankful that I have customers and friends like Sam who we can talk about that. And we can talk, make sure that we all know that that's important. You know, Tom McCoy used to say that up in Thompson Station, Tennessee. He would say, the main thing is to keep the main thing. And that's keeping Jesus at the center of it. Like, I'm not trying to beat people over the head with a Bible. I'm not trying to make you be intimidated. I'm not trying to make you change your life. That's not my job. My job is just to be a witness, right? It's just to tell you what God's done in my life. If that opportunity presents itself in a conversation with people, I try to do that because I'm thankful, and it is important to me that people know the same God that I know, that they're exposed to the same Holy Spirit that filled the disciples, that Jesus sent. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment, but the same Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to comfort us is the same one that came to comfort the disciples. How powerful is that? That's important. We are important to God because he sent Jesus to die. Think about that. Jesus died and lived a perfect life. Never did anything wrong. Yet he was hated. He was murdered. And he hung on a cross. And he knew it was coming. But he did it anyway because he loves you, because you are that important to him. And I'm so thankful we are. And then the Holy Spirit comes, that great comforter. That had to happen. We're going to talk about that in the next segment on Sunday morning. Shaw Gage back in with you on Sunday morning. Hey, I hope you're smiling right now. If you're not smiling, just do me a favor and smile. It'll make this a whole lot more enjoyable for both of us, I promise. But listen, the VIP, we're talking about that this morning. VIP, we talked about value for the V. We talked about importance for the I. Now we're talking about the P, which is promise. Promise is the expectation of success, improvement, or excellence. It's the expectation that it's going to meet this high standard. You know, when I coach football, we talked about that expectation, that standard you want to set. It's that you got to make that promise that you're going to do that, and you got to show that promise, right? And you got to get out there and you got to work hard for it. But I know Jesus said this in John 16:7. He said, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, capital A, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, with a capital H, to you." You know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the promise right there. He's telling the disciples, he goes, I got to go do this. They're like, it's not fair. You don't deserve this. Yeah, I mean, like, what in the world? Jesus is like, look, I got to go. We got to do this. The plan's got to happen, because the only way you're going to be okay is when the Holy Spirit comes and invades your heart and changes you from the inside out so you can go and preach the gospel and take it to the ends of the earth. And that same advocate, I love that translation. I read that earlier this week, and I'm going to start saying that. You know, growing up, I was talking to a friend not long ago, and talking about growing up in Briarwood Church, man, we called it the Holy Ghost. And there's almost a little spookiness, you know, about it. Not in a bad way, but, you know, I mean, there's a little mystery when you call it the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is what we've been referring to it for 40 years, probably 35, 40 years that I can recall. But the Advocate, man, I love that. That's like the interceder. That's like the one that's going to stand in the gap and protect me, like my shield. It just changes. It doesn't change the way I feel about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, or the Advocate, but it's the third part of the Trinity. It's the most important to us here right now as we walk through this thing called life. Because, y'all, if I don't have that Holy Spirit in my heart, if I don't have that telling me to be a difference maker, to keep showing up and to keep doing the work and to keep being positive and to forgive and to forget and to move on and to encourage, y'all, I'm going to be just like I'm going to be the worst sinner there is out there. Because what's the point? If it's all about me and control and control and control, I know what's going to happen. It would not be good. But I'm so thankful for that promise Christ gave in John 16 about the Advocate. Because that Advocate is that promise and that expectation of success or of improvement, of excellence. Y'all, and that's what happens. You don't become perfect. You don't become problem-free. But you become changed because you don't focus on what the inside says. You don't focus on the me, the I. You focus on the everybody else and how you can serve and how you can help. And that's when you start changing lives. That's when I start changing lives. That's when people go, hey, coach, you remember 12 years ago, had a great opportunity. Shout out to Caleb and his wife, Sarai, Janet and I went to their wedding back on 4th of July up in Tennessee. One of my former students. Caleb, Sarai, we're so happy and proud of you guys and wish you nothing but the best. But Man, that was cool. And he came up and he was like, Coach, you remember that day in that class? I was like, yeah, I do, man. That changed my life too. And that's the change. That wasn't me. That wasn't Coach Gage. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the advocate working through me. I was just moving my mouth, y'all. It's like doing this. I mean, this is me talking. I'm not this smart. But the Lord gives me words to say, to encourage. And that's my prayer, is I just go, God, help me to get out of the way and let your message be revealed, whatever that is. And 52 years in, I'm going to tell you, when I turn it over like that and go, God, you just use me, work through me, whether it's here on this microphone or standing with a customer on Monday morning, anywhere in between, if I'm prayed up and I'm going, God, use the advocate, allow the advocate to use me today. And the advocate does. It's crazy. It's wild. But let the advocate use you. Use the Holy Spirit. Give Christ your life and just say, God, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of worrying. I'm tired of struggling. Man, I don't know how you do it if you don't have the faith. I mean, that promise right there is what keeps me going each and every day in more ways than one. I want you to know this right now. Jesus loves you. Hang on to his promise each and every day. And remember, most importantly, that he loves you. We'll be back on the other side on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. What do you think about that? VIP, does that change the way you look at it? Do you have value, importance, and promise? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord laid that on my heart this week. And he laid that on there for, I think, each and every person listening out there. I know it impacted me. And we were going through a lot, man. We had water lines breaking underneath the bathroom cabinets in the master bathroom this week. And, man, what a headache. But the only way to keep my sanity, I looked at Janet and I said, hey, let me tell you something. Just got to stay positive. And look, the service team came out and did all the cleanup and all that. And you know what? Those three men showed up in my house Wednesday about 11 a.m., and we were walking in, and I just stopped him. I said, guys, let me ask you something. Y'all mind if we pray over it? And let's just pray over the situation. And we did. And it was cool just to have three other guys, four men standing in my house and being before the Lord and just laying this. We're about to walk into this journey. And, you know, it didn't go quite as well as I'd hoped, or Janet had hoped. I know, but we're having a little bit of remodeling done right now, and that's okay. But you know what? It changed my heart. It changed my attitude. It changed my heartitude. And it allowed me to go, you know what, it's going to be okay. But I don't know why I started going down that road, but it was just that heart set and that mindset of going, there's a value, there's importance, and there's promise. Even in that situation, I just got to step aside and take myself out of it. And y'all, look, I'm terrible at that, but when I do it and I realize it, it's fun sharing it. Because it's all God. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all the advocate, as we talked about in the last segment. And that's what changes me from the inside out. And it's not a one and done. It's a daily. It's a moment by moment. And it's, you know what? We've talked about 280 traffic. Y'all know that's my nemesis, but it's getting better. I promise you that. But that's where I get tested. But I'm going to try to apply these attributes and these heartitudes and these mindsets of very important value, importance, and promise. I'm going to try to encourage people with that this week. I hope you will too. And I hope you'll think about that in your own life. You know, do I have value? Absolutely, you have value. Number two, do you have importance? Yes, you are absolutely important. You are significant in worth and consequence. And number three, promise. Do you have that expectation of success or improvement or excellence? Man, that's going to make us better people, and it's going to make us VIPs. And when you get in those situations where you're prayed up and you're reading scripture and you're focusing on the value of things and the conversations, not the money, forget the money. What's the value, right? What am I going to get out of this conversation as far as value? Not what am I going to scheme from it? Not what am I going to rip somebody off or lose or whatever it may be? Don't look at it like that. Just go, this is an experience and this is an opportunity to work these three things and go, man, there's value in this situation. There's importance in this situation and there's promise in this situation. I just got to look for it. And you know what? I know that's kind of a different definition of VIP, but again, that's just what I was praying on this week. And I said, you know, if I can do those three things, if I can focus on the value out there in people and in situations, And I can think about importance, the significant worth or the consequence. Why does this matter? Why am I here? You ought to make a difference. That's why you're here. And then thirdly, that promise. What is that expectation I have in this situation? Is it ho-hum? Is it average? Is it below? Is it, I don't care? Or is it, hey, this is going to be successful. Or this person's going to be successful. Or this improvement or this excellence. And those scriptures we talked about, we referenced earlier, those will help you. Go back and listen to them. 1 Timothy 4:8 when we're talking about value. 1 Corinthians 15:3 when we're talking about importance, which is Jesus Christ and what he did for you and for me. That's the most important thing in this whole deal. Don't ever forget that. And then John 16:7, the promise, right? The promise of that Holy Spirit, the advocate. Y'all, that made me sit up straight a little while ago in the last segment when I was sitting here, we were talking about this and going, man, the advocate's there for me right now. He's there for you right now. So hang on to that. Be a VIP. Work those things in. Work them into your conversations. Work them into your own life. Pray about it. Think about it. And ask God to work magic through you being a VIP. And let me tell you something. It ain't magic. It's the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. the advocate. Check him out if you don't know him. And if you do know him, lean into him. Trust him a little bit more this week. Once you know Jesus loves you, keep on keeping on in and keep on trucking, everybody. We'll be back on the other side. Grab a cup of coffee. And we'll be back on Sunday morning. Our proverb of the week is Proverbs 15:17. Came across this. It was just pretty funny to me. It wasn't funny. It's true. But just kind of talked about it. It spoke right to me because it's a love-hate relationship between beef and vegetables. But this says this, 15:17 of Proverbs says, better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fatted calf with hatred. Man, if I had a restaurant, I think I'd put that up in there. Man, that's pretty good. But at the end of the day, it just speaks about your heartitude. It speaks about what's in your heart. You know, life's not about what happens to you, y'all. It's about how you respond to what happens to you. And when the hard things happen, what you're pouring in is what's going to pour out. I probably fail at it more than I succeed, but man, when I've got love in my heart, man, even a small bowl of vegetables better than a fatted calf, I can assure you. But chew on that one, no pun intended. I literally just came up with that one right there, but better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fatted calf with hatred. Where's your heart this morning? And where's your hunger? Remember, when you're hungry, make sure you got love in your heart. Keep on keeping on, everybody. And man, be an encouragement, be a light, go where you can be and show that love. Don't have that hatred because it ain't no fun. Nobody wants to be around people like that, right? They look like they've been sucking on lemons and just sitting over in the corner, grumbling about everything, got that twisted up face. Man, do it with love. Because you know what? Jesus loved you. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. All you got to do is trust him. Shaw Gage back with you on the last segment of Sunday morning. Thanks again for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed that. Value, importance, and promise. Try to look for those. Try to develop those and try to also look for those in your life and the opportunities, the circumstances of life and the people in life and just chew on that. I know I am. I think we can all get a little bit better from that. I want to close out this last segment by paying tribute to a guy that I've been a fan of for a long, long time. And people used to kind of look at me like, what? He's kind of different. But man, check this out. This is pretty cool. I read this the other day. I wanted to share it as we close out on Sunday morning. He had one of the most extraordinary voices in popular music, a voice that could sound lonely, hopeful, heartbroken, and operatic all at once. Behind that voice was a man who endured more personal tragedy than almost anyone in music history. His name was Roy Orbison. By the mid-1960s, Roy Orbison was one of the biggest stars in the world. Only the lonely, crying, in dreams, or oh pretty woman. His songs filled radios across America and far beyond. On stage, he barely moved. Hidden behind dark glasses, shy and reserved, he let the voice do everything. At the center of his world was his wife, Claudette. Roy had married Claudette Frady in 1950s when she was still a teenager. She was his muse, his partner, and the center of the family they were building together. They had three young sons. For a while, it seemed as though Roy Orbison had everything. Then on June 6th, 1966, everything changed. Roy and Claudette were riding motorcycles near their Tennessee home. Roy was slightly ahead of her on the road. A truck pulled out in front of Claudette's motorcycle. She had no time to avoid it. Roy could do nothing. Claudette died that day. She was only 24 years old. Orbison was devastated. Friends later said he threw himself into touring because standing still hurt too much. The road became somewhere to keep moving when he didn't know how to move forward. Then tragedy struck again. On September 14, 1968, while Roy was performing in England, a fire broke out at his family home in Tennessee. Two of his sons died in the fire. Roy Duane was 11, Anthony was 6. Only his youngest son, Wesley, survived after being rescued by Roy's parents. In just over 2 years, Roy Orbison had lost his wife and two of his three children. The losses changed him forever. Those close to him said he could never bring himself to attend funerals afterward. The grief ran too deep. Most people would have disappeared from public life entirely. Roy Orbison didn't. He kept singing. He kept writing. He poured everything he had lost into his music. And somehow the sadness only seemed to deepen the power of that voice. Every song about heartbreak sounded as though it came from somewhere real, because it did. Years later, he describes surviving life's tragedies this way. You stand there like a tree where the winds blow and the seasons change, and you're still there, and you bloom again. Slowly, he did. Roy remarried in 1969 and rebuilt his life with his wife, Barbara. The grief never disappeared, but life returned. Then in the 1980s, something remarkable happened. A new generation discovered him. Filmmakers used his music. Young artists idolized him. Bruce Springsteen inducted him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. In 1988, he joined George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, and Jeff Lynne in the Traveling Wilburys. Against every expectation, Roy Orbison was suddenly experiencing one of the greatest moments of his career. He recorded a new solo album called Mystery Girl. He knew it was special. He never lived to see it released. On December 6, 1988, Roy Orbison died of a heart attack at the age of 52. Just weeks later, Mystery Girl was released. It became the biggest selling album of his entire career. There's something fitting about that. Roy Orbison spent his life turning grief into beauty. The songs outlive the heartbreak that created them. And decades later, when that voice rises into a chorus and holds a note impossibly long, people still hear exactly what made him different. Not perfection, not performance, truth. Some people sing about heartbreak. Roy Orbison sang through his own, and the world is still listening. Thank you, Roy Orbison.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.